Good morning. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. It is 10:01, April 13th, 2017, and I call this a regular meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. With me today is Commissioner Fedorchak and Commissioner Krosius. And as far as opening comments, I only have one, and that is that our budget has a conference committee scheduled for 11:30 this morning. And so we're going to proceed like normally here, do the regular meeting, if possible, move into the administrative portion of the meeting and wrap up. But if we run out of time or are cutting it too close, it would be my intention to just go into a recess and then reconvene shortly after 12 after that conference committee, because we do need to be there. So, Commissioner Fedorchak, opening comments?
You mean you don't have it all pre-wired, so it's just going to sail through exactly how we want it?
Not quite.
All right. Okay, I'll keep my comments brief as well, my opening comments, but thank you, Randy, for your leadership on our bill and for continuing to work that, and Jill as well. Daryl, everyone's been doing a great job, and I think that in its current form, we can live with that and make it work for the people of state, and I hope that the House will go along with it and give us what the Senate did. In terms of opening comments, I just wanted to mention that because it'll probably be passed and approved and in ancient history by the time we meet again. But the House and the Senate Conference Committee on House Bill 1378, which is the bill that will require future wind energy facilities to have the light mitigating technology, and also provide some direction to us to deal with the existing facilities, that received unanimous approval in the conference committee this weekend, is on the House calendar for voting. So because of the compromises made and the work that the industry has done and the public has done on that bill, I do expect that both the House and the Senate will approve that bill, and that Governor Burgum, I anticipate, will sign it. And so that's really good news for the citizens of our state who really appreciate our dark landscape. This bill will require all future wind generation facilities to have the light mitigating technology incorporated and operational by December 31st of 2019. And then it also, and this is what I think was most significant on the measures taken by the legislature, they considered seriously, how do we deal with the existing generation that's out there, the existing wind farms, of which there's 2,000 megawatts that are already operational that were previously approved without this technology requirement. How do we bring those up to speed? Leaving them to the end of their useful life would be another 20 or so years, and that seems too long. But how do you require something retroactively? And that's a tricky situation as well. So they assigned that to us. We're good at tricky situations. This is our forte. And so we will tackle that here upcoming in a rules package. I would anticipate as soon as we're done with the existing rules package on wind, we'll tackle this one dealing with the red lights and how to require the existing facilities to incorporate them in wind. And we'll have a lot of conversation with industry on that, and I expect we'll hear from the public as well. So I think it's all good news for the wind generation industry, I believe, because it helps them become better neighbors. And it's also good news for North Dakotans because it allows those facilities to exist without one significant impact, which is the night lights and the night light pollution. This makes North Dakota a leader in this area nationwide. I don't believe there's any other state that is being as proactive on requiring and incorporating this light mitigating technology, and I think that's a real credit to North Dakota policymakers and the legislators. So just wanted to highlight that bill a little bit this morning. That's
it. Krosius.
Oh, good morning. My comments will be very brief. Continue to be brought up to speed on a number of issues. A lot of things are happening as we near the end of the session. And the staff continues to be incredibly helpful, supportive, and I think we're in week 4. So with that, I am ready to proceed.
Okay, we will move to the consent calendar, and the item number JF9 was withdrawn from the consent calendar, and so that leaves 17 items on consent plus the previous minutes. I move passage.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, I have a pretty busy agenda here for my portfolios, but I don't think any of them are too complicated. Moving into them, RC1, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-17-133, canceling warehouse license number 335 issued to Laverne Farmers Cooperative Elevator Company at Laverne, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Laverne is discontinued.
Second.
We received a request to discontinue from Laverne Farmers Cooperative. The facility has been purchased by Central Plains Ag Services of Hannaford, North Dakota. Central Plains has already filed a license application. There are no outstanding storage obligations, and the grain inventory in the warehouse will be purchased by Central Plains. All their contracts have been settled. Laverne Cooperative asked that the request to discontinue business be approved effective April 3rd for their transition. I have already granted a temporary discontinuance, and staff recommends that it be approved by the full commission today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I will just add that for those of you who aren't familiar with Laverne's, I believe there are two businesses there, the grain warehouse and Dirty Johnny's, the bar and grill.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, RC2, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-17-93, granting the request of Central Plains Ag Services, LLC, to operate a 524,000-bushel grain warehouse at Laverne, North Dakota.
Second.
Okay, this is a follow-up to the previous one. Central Plains filed the application, and this facility was purchased from the Laverne Farmers Cooperative. Central Plains operates licensed grain warehouses already at Courtney and Hannaford, and with the addition of this warehouse, we'll have a combined capacity of 8,087,000 bushels. They already have a $2 million surety bond on file with the commission, which is the largest that we do by law. Central Plains notified us that they have not transacted business as a warehouseman at this location and asked that the license application be approved effective April 3rd again to match that previous discontinuance. I did grant a temporary approval, and staff now recommends full commission approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
It's all wrapped up. Now the party can begin at Dirty Johnny's. RC3, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-17-103, granting the request of Tronson Grain, LLC, to operate a 557,000-bushel grain warehouse at Garsky, North Dakota.
Second.
On March 28th, the Garsky Elevator Company filed a request to reduce the license capacity from 566,000 bushels to 20,000 bushels. They informed us that they will continue licensing the 20,000 bushels of capacity until the remainder of their credit sale contracts are closed out, which will be around January of next year. The facility has been sold to Tronson Grain. So that reduction does not need our approval. Staff does that. On March 17th, though, Tronson Grain filed this warehouse application to operate a 557,000-bushel grain warehouse at Garsky that they purchased. Tronson already operates licensed warehouses at Doyen and Tolna, and with the addition of this warehouse, we'll have a combined capacity of 4,157,000 bushels. They have a $1,280,500 surety bond on file with us. They've notified us they have not transacted business as a warehouseman at this location and asked that this application be approved effective April 1st, again, as part of a transition so that it could go seamlessly. I did grant a temporary approval, and staff recommends full commission approval.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC4, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-17-131, granting the request of Midwest Ag Energy Group, LLC, of Underwood, North Dakota, to operate as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota.
Second.
Midwest Ag Energy Group projects it will purchase 8 million bushels of grain annually in the state and filed a $1,750,000 surety bond. They notified us they have not transacted business as a roving grain buyer in the state. Statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends that the roving grain buyer license be issued. Midwest Ag Energy is, I think, kind of the parent of Blue Flint, which is also licensed and will continue to be licensed. This is sort of in addition to their activities. And I would just add that Underwood is the home of one of my heroes, former State Senator Leighton Freeburg.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, I move RC5. I move the commission portfolios be allocated as follows, effective April 14th, 2017. For Commissioner Chrisman, be business operations is one. The second one, coal mine and reclamation, then abandoned mine lands, then grain licensing, auctioneers and clerks licensing, and finally telecommunications. For Commissioner Fedorchak, transmission pipeline siting, then energy conversion siting, then electric transmission siting, and finally railroads. And for Commissioner Crosius, grain and electric economic regulation, also pipeline safety and damage prevention, then weights and measures, and finally consumer affairs.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC6, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-17-137, canceling warehouse license number 495 issued to Galesburg Cooperative Elevator Company at Galesburg, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Galesburg is discontinued.
Second.
The commission received a request to discontinue from Galesburg Cooperative Elevator. The facility is merged with Clifford Farmers Cooperative Elevator. Clifford has filed a license application. There are no outstanding storage obligations, and the grain inventory in the warehouse and the contracts will be assumed by Clifford. Galesburg Cooperative asked that the request to discontinue be approved effective April 1st. This is another one of those transitions. In order to make it seamlessly, I've issued a temporary discontinuance, and staff recommends full commission approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And finally, RC7, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-17-125, granting the request of Clifford Farmers Cooperative Elevator Company to operate a 4,396,000 bushel grain warehouse at Galesburg, North Dakota.
Second.
So again, this is the bookend to the previous motion. Clifford Farmers Cooperative filed this application to operate this warehouse at Galesburg. They operate licensed warehouses already at Clifford and Hope, North Dakota, and with the addition of this warehouse, we'll have a combined capacity of 15,188,000 bushels. Clifford has a $2 million surety bond on file with the commission, which again is the largest, as high as we go. They notified us they have not transacted business as a warehouseman at this location and has asked that the license application be approved effective April 1st. I did issue a temporary approval, and staff recommends full commission approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Say, Randy, on this one, this kind of, I hadn't thought about this before, but I just want to throw it out here, get your thoughts. When a facility has such a large number of, a large number for capacity, and they're well over, what's the limit? 2 million covers, what, eight million bushels? Where does it cap out? 8 million and above?
I don't know how many bushels it would be to reach that $2 million limit. I just know that 2 million is the
cap,
the most that we require.
And this is a number of different facilities. Does the, has there been any thought to requiring it for each facility when the capacity gets so high?
No, we just got this increase 2 years ago, and so no, there hasn't been anything more done.
We haven't
since
really
then.
Gotten. The big facilities aren't necessarily the ones that are the riskiest either. So there's
so far that hasn't typically been the case that
that
these are the facilities that go. It's kind of been more specialty crops and things like that.
Does the law prohibit us from doing that? I mean, are they automatically, it's one company and whatever, however many facilities they have, they so that would be
a license themselves under one umbrella.
Yeah. Okay. I was just that just struck me today. The size of the capacity here is pretty significant.
It really is a lot of bushels, and not, if something happened, there would not be a lot of money there to go around.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a pretty solid company, it seems like. And I do want to point out, Galesburg, for some people that don't know, is about 25 or 30 miles north of the interstate and kind of about halfway between Valley City and Fargo. And Galesburg has the fourth tallest standing structure in the world. A 628-meter KXJB TV mast. And the third tallest structure in the world is just real nearby at Blanchard, 1 meter taller, and that's KVLY's mast.
Yeah.
North Dakota is the third and fourth tallest structures.
Is Galesburg home to the competing bar Clean Jimmy's? Because I'd rather go there.
As I mentioned earlier, I continue to learn.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay, I think I have four items. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission City of Granville Pipeline Safety Enforcement, case number GS-16-764.
Second.
Okay. On November 22nd, the Public Service Commission Gas Pipeline Safety Program Manager and Inspector Craig Riemann conducted a standard records audit of the gas pipeline safety records for the liquefied petroleum gas distribution system operated by the City of Granville. Craig noted several probable violations in that inspection, and again, it was a records inspection. And the probable violation, the first one was Granville did not test the capacity of a relief device in 2015 or determine the capacity by review and calculations as required under federal regulation. The second violation was Granville did not check or service distribution valves again in 2015 as required by federal regulation. And the third was that Granville did not inspect above ground pipe for atmospheric corrosion as required under the federal regulation. So on December 14th, that notice of probable violation was issued. On February 7th of this year, Granville filed a response to that. And on March 20th, Granville and staff entered into a consent agreement to resolve the issues raised in the NOPV, or notice of possible violation. And essentially, under the consent agreement, Granville agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $4,500, which is suspended on the condition that Granville remains compliant with a number of requirements that would address those specific violations for a period of 3 years. So the reason why the consent agreement kind of was entered into and why I think it's appropriate, again, is because staff has had a lot of interaction with Granville and worked really hard to, and the commission as well, to help get them up to speed on the safety side of things. They've consulted with MDU. They've really got hired additional staff and seem to be a long way down the path of improving their safety operations. This was a records audit of practices from 2015 that have since been corrected, so they were compliant in 2016. So I think for that reason, I think that it's appropriate that the this consent agreement suspends the fine and requires and will keep that suspended if they remain compliant for the next 3 years. And I think that's the appropriate way to move forward with Granville and hope that they continue to maintain the safety procedures that have been put in place now and work with our staff to remain compliant. So I think this is an appropriate consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I'm just going to pile on to that a little bit and commending our team and our pipeline safety for not only finding this, but then I think working through it in a reasonable consent agreement. Granville's a small town. We can't ignore violations, and so we haven't here. But at the same time, the important thing I think here is that they operate safely. And I think, you know, it's a case of hopefully a lesson learned, and I think suspending the penalty is a reasonable thing to do because the fact of the matter is those local taxpayers would end up paying that penalty, and I just think we've come to a good conclusion here to make sure that a lesson is learned.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. I move the commission assess a filing fee of $25,000, suspend the tariff and rates, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company's Special Facilities Rider Tariff and Rates Case Number PU-17-113.
Second.
So on March 24th of this year, NSP filed an application to implement a special facilities rider tariff and rates. The proposed rates would include costs of any electric equipment, infrastructure, or installations that were requested by North Dakota City that go beyond the company's standard design and construction parameters. The proposal includes a number of rules to ensure that the customer billing impacts are reasonable and promote consistency in the application of the special facilities rider surcharge. Any comments and requests for a hearing must be received by May 30th of 2017. And just to provide a little bit more background, this, as I understand it, was triggered by the City of Fargo's a desire by the city leaders to bury the electric wires in downtown Fargo. That procedure, tackling that, goes beyond the company's definition of standard design and construction parameters, so it would cost more than what they would typically do in their standard parameters, construction parameters. So the company's been working back and forth with the city on how to facilitate what they want and also not, impact the whole system. This is one path for one proposal for doing that. And it basically allows the company to develop a plan. They would account for the costs that are higher than the standard construction parameters. And then if the city agrees to pursue that, they would allocate under this rate the additions to all the city customers. Normally the city, they could do this, they could approach this right now with a couple of different ways. They could pay the costs up front, the city could, or they could assess a higher fee just for that neighborhood or the customers who are benefiting directly from the cable in that area that would be buried. But this is a different approach that they have filed with us and want to pursue. And I appreciate the company and the city working together to try to find a way to address this. my concern that I'll throw out on the front end, and we'll be asking on the if we have an informal on this or in a formal hearing, is how does the city discuss and approve these types of projects so the public in Fargo are aware that this is happening and have an opportunity to engage themselves? Because without that kind of public front-end discussion, notice to the city citizens of Fargo, this basically becomes another tax that they will pay that gets assessed through their electric bill. And I think that that is ripe for some confusion, and the questions will come to us as to why did we allow this, how did this happen, why didn't they know about it, why didn't they have an opportunity to express any interest. So that might be baked into the plan that's already been proposed by NSP in the city. I couldn't tell exactly through the language that they've submitted. And so that's one of the big questions that I'll be having. And I anticipate, unless somebody does request a formal hearing, having an informal hearing on this issue. And hopefully the city of Fargo would participate in that as well. And this tariff would not just apply to the city of Fargo. Any of the communities served by NSP could also use this similar tariff. It's just that Fargo is probably the one that has triggered it and would probably be using it first.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. Thank you, Darrell. Well, the next two are also an innovative approach on an issue that's been bubbling up out there for a number of years, just like the issue relating to the Fargo electric infrastructure in downtown Fargo. That's something that the city and I have been talking about for a number of years, so it's kind of exciting to see some proposals bubble up, and we'll work through the details on that. The JF3 and JF4, the next two motions, are also something that I have been aware of for a number of years and have been trying to help facilitate some discussions and innovative thinking on how to address this issue. So I'll just go through the motion first and then get into the details of it. I'll probably explain them together and then we can vote on them separately. So the first one, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities, a division of MDU Resources Group, Inc., Natural Gas System, Ransom, and Sargent County's Public Convenience and Necessity Case Number PU-17-123.
Second.
So on March 31st of this year, MDU filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct and operate a natural gas distribution system to serve portions of Ransom and Sargent counties in North Dakota. The issues to be considered in this matter are, is there a need for the service? Is MDU technically, financially, and managerially fit and able to provide this service? What is the effect on other public utilities providing similar service, and is there the proposed service adequate? Comments and requests for a hearing on this issue must be received by May 30th, and if appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. So this basically is a proposal to get natural gas to the Bobcat facility in Gwinner. Bobcat, based on the application, there's several different components. The proposal includes a cost for Bobcat to cover the cost of the pipeline build-out and spread those costs over 15 years through a monthly contract demand charge. And that charge is set and subject to change and every 5 years, and subject to change also if the company is able to facilitate new customers to get on the line, so then any new customers would help pay the cost of that pipeline as well. And as far as I understand it, the entire cost of the pipeline is going to be recovered by those customers, not by other MDU customers on the system anyplace. The second piece is a transportation rate, which includes a basic service charge and a volume metric distribution delivery charge. So a basic service charge per month followed by a per decatherm gas charge. So This is the first issue here is a public convenience and necessity. One of the key issues in there is competition. There are no other natural gas providers in that area that will be affected. And it's also important to note that there's other customers expressing interest in natural gas service in this area. So for those two reasons, I think that it's a pretty interesting proposal. Gwinner, as we all know, is home to Bobcat's 700,000 square foot manufacturing product engineering complex. It is Bobcat's largest manufacturing facility in the United States, and MDO has been working with them for a number of years to get natural gas to this facility. I've covered a lot of the other issues already, so we'll look forward to having more detailed discussions of this with the company in either a formal or informal hearing in the not-too-distant future.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And the second motion, the company in their application they filed for public convenience and necessity and then also for approval of the rates, proposed tariff rates. So I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utility Company, a division of MD Resources Group, Inc., Gas Transportation Clark Equipment Company Service Agreement, case number PU-17-144.
Second.
So, again, on March 31st, MDU filed this requested approval of an agreement for natural gas transportation service. This will this piece of the issue covers the cost of the transportation service and what's included in the agreement. And there are a number of issues included on that we will cover. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by May 30th of 2017 if anybody wants to get involved in this discussion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I just want to just say that, we will go through this and look at the appropriateness of this specific proposal. I do appreciate the company and Bobcat coming to the table to try to work out a way to address this. I've long said that in order to get natural gas to some of our smaller communities, normal operating procedures are probably not going to be the way to do it. You're going to have to think creatively. You're going to have to employ some new approaches. We'll look at this, make sure it fits under what the requirements of the law are. I expect that it does, but we'll take a close look at that. And I appreciate the effort to address this, because it really bodes well, if it's able to be done, it really bodes well for that facility and the long-term investment of Bobcat, our state's largest manufacturer in our state. They're signing under this a 15-year agreement to purchase natural gas. That suggests that they aren't going to be pulling up shop here in the next 15 years. And I think that's a good thing for Gwinner and for the state of North Dakota in general. We've long been proud of Bobcat. It's a great company. They produce equipment that we see around the globe, and everyone's proud of that equipment as well. And I think it's important to try to work through issues like this to make sure that they have what they need to be competitive long term.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, just two brief announcements. One's a ways out, but we'll start getting it on the radar screen. On May 19th, we have a formal hearing, but it will be an ALJ hearing up in Watford City, case number PU-17-48. It's a Aerofield Services NGL pipeline project up in McKenzie County. And secondly, it's been on our calendar for some time because we just added it for all the Fridays during the legislative session a long, long time ago. But we have legislative discussion, I think, is the only thing on our calendar for tomorrow. And that is not going to be happening. The agency will be closed tomorrow in observance of the Good Friday holiday. So that concludes announcements.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
you may.
I was curious, as chairman, were you planning to have a final legislative discussion party for staff and, you know, bring donuts or subs or pizza or anything of that nature? If so, I'd be happy to contribute.
Well, I'm not sure how we're going to handle it, but we're sure going to party when it gets done. But I fear that while tomorrow is Good Friday, it is not the last Friday of the legislative session.
Well, I look forward to witnessing your party planning abilities as chairman. And stand ready to assist as needed.
Don't get your expectations up too high in that area. Okay, we'll stand in recess for questions from the press.
Does that mean you're looking at maybe Laverne for the side of the party?
Yeah.
Now, on a serious note, this deal between Montana Dakota Utilities and Bobcat has been in the works for a while, hasn't it? It seems like that discussion goes back maybe a couple of years.
That's correct, yes. And Tammy's here with the company who can provide more color on that and commentary on that. But, yes, my understanding is I've had calls from Bobcat going back several years, and I know the company has started and stopped discussions going back, you know, a number of years. And there's been just a difficulty to reach a final agreement, which now they have and have a proposal in front of us.
Does this mean that does MDU have to build pipe?
That's correct. It's a 21 miles of pipe, I believe. Let's see here. Am I right, Tammy? 21? 12-inch, 21-mile line to tap into the Alliance pipeline and then traverse to Gwinner. They're looking at a number of ways to do that, probably potentially plastic pipe, which helps keep the cost down and would still allow them to operate it at the pressures they need to serve that, bring the amount of gas in that they want. So they've looked at a number of different ways to reduce the costs and make this an affordable extension.
So you'll have some discussion on this and hope everything works out.
Yeah, we'll have to look at it. You know, there's the two processes, the public convenience and necessity process, and then the actual transportation rate, and looking at both of those and making sure that they comply with the requirements under law, and that you know the public has an opportunity to get engaged in comment as well, and we'll listen to any comments we get on that regard.
In your budget bill, then has so far the committee kept in the two rail inspectors.
Yes. Thus far, that has not changed. The difference is, if you recall, the rail inspectors, one is an FTE, one is a full-time temporary. And the House version kept that, and the Senate version made the full-time temporary into an FTE.
And so that's where it's at right now.
Correct.
Okay. There's an item, Commissioner DeFortore, to check on. It's CJF 14. And the only reason I'm asking about this is that the idea of Hankinson putting in these potential natural gas power units seems to have been up in the air. So I'm just kind of curious if you have any updates.
Yeah, this is kind of confusing. These were all related to the NSP's, they love acronyms, RTF, Resource Treatment Framework. And so those were all the cases involved in that. And so this is not to say that issue is itself being resurrected, but that all of those issues were part of that case. And so we're noticing them all as part of the RTF discussion, I believe. We're looking to Yeah, so we rescinded the refund because we were basically worked out an agreement with the company. And, Pat, you'll have to jump in. Is Pat here? Oh, yeah, if I'm wrong. But I understand that we took the refund of their application fee back so that it can be used applied to the resource treatment framework, correct? And then, yeah, we're going to hopefully hire some outside consultants to help us work through that.
So it's a bigger issue than just, you know, the promise that eventually something will happen at Hankinson.
It is, yes. It's much bigger than that. They still do have the commitment to, by 2025, is it, to build, under the previous settlement agreement, to build a natural gas-fired facility in North Dakota. But this, the resource treatment framework is looking at their operations as a whole in North Dakota and how to work out the sort of the differing and diverging policy approaches to generation that North Dakota has with Minnesota and how to capture those in rates.
And what was the name of that bar in Luverne?
Dirty Johnny's.
Okay. Was the elevator connected to it for grain alcohol purposes?
We're not clear on that. Our staff didn't investigate maybe as thoroughly as ought to have been done. It might have merited a trip out there on behalf of the commission.
Yeah.
Field trip.
So it might be still under consideration?
Oh, dang.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
These are the things you're thinking of as we're rambling on. You're thinking of crazy puns.
That's how my mind works.
That's how you're able to stay interested in Public Service Commission meetings.
Okay. We will remain under recess and reconvene at 10:50. We'll sign a few orders and get ready for the admin meeting.